Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
It's Film Week on KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. As you know, movie theaters are reopening and moviegoers are returning. All eight of the Lemley's theaters have now reopened. It's Glendale location, the last to do so a couple of weeks ago. Tickets are now on sale for the first time in a year to go to either of the two American Cinematheque theaters in Hollywood or Santa Monica. And now announcing programs for the Rialto in South Pasadena as well. Last weekend, A Quiet Place Part 2 opened with very strong box office. One of the locations that sold quite a few tickets was the Alamo Draft House in downtown Los Angeles. The Texas-based boutique chain filed for bankruptcy in early March, but unlike the ArcLight and Pacific theaters, Alamo's been able to come back quickly, many of its theaters reopening last month. Well, our John Horn called up Tim League, Alamo's founder and executive chairman, to talk about the return of the circuit, the future of moviegoing in the streaming era, and whether or not Alamo might be a buyer of the closed Cinerama Dome in Hollywood.
Before we talk about how you got out of bankruptcy, let's discuss how you ended up there. What were the factors?
Well, the primary one is we were running out of money. We shut down all the theaters in basically the end of March in 2020 and immediately just tried to turn all the cash faucets off. You know, we learned a lot of things that we didn't realize that we were paying for X, Y, and Z. And we just hunkered down for as long as we could. But there's just some fixed expenses of operating. We were on a path to expand, so we had expended a lot of money to open up venues that weren't open yet. And then every month you're not open, you're accruing all this rent because we don't own our properties. We're leasing them. Come December, it was looking pretty grim. And we made the decision, you know, shortly thereafter to embark upon restructuring bankruptcy.
So you filed for bankruptcy in early March, and that was just as some theaters were starting to reopen. How close did you come to making it? Because ticket sales were about to start going, or was it already kind of a fait accompli?
We had contemplated bankruptcy in December, and then that's at the point where we took on a new investor, and there was basically a path to see if we could, you know, without going into bankruptcy, reduce our debt burden. And if we could hit this target, then we wouldn't go into bankruptcy. If we couldn't hit it, then we had to do it. I didn't, upon entering it, know just how painful and awful a process it is, but it was structured and a part of a right setting the business so that we would be strong and come out of this healthy and be able to expand.
I'd like to play you a clip from a movie.
There are people out there. People worth saving.
It's a clip from A Quiet Place Part 2. I think you said, and I think you were talking about the downtown LA location, that this was likely the first time in Drafthouse history that every single showtime in one theater was sold out over a four-day period. I mean, it was an unbelievable performance, but people clearly are comfortable going back into theaters.
You can just see it in people's faces. It's like the joy and giddiness of getting out of the house and doing something that they love to do. You know, and I was in the same boat. Like I met with friends in LA and we watched a movie together and it almost made me cry. It did make me cry, actually.
So yeah, people are crowding in for theaters for A Quiet Place Part 2, but the world is really changing. And is that a bell that can't be unrung in terms of how many people watch streaming content during the pandemic and whether or not you can get all of them back?
I'm a firm believer that no matter how much, how good your kitchen is, you go out to a restaurant every once in a while, no matter how much streaming content is, you don't watch everything at home. You want to get out of the house. You want to have out-of-home experiences. You want to be with others, with friends, outside the home. You want to feel that group dynamic, and you want to have an experience that a cinema can offer that your home can't.
So about the same time that you closed down, albeit very temporarily, ArcLight Cinemas and Pacific Theaters said that they were closing for good. There's recent news about the huge circuit AMC in discussions with multiple landlords about maybe buying some of the ArcLight and Pacific locations. What's your whole take on the closing of ArcLight and Pacific, and whether or not they say they're closed for good, any of it might come back?
I think it's pretty clear at this point that ArcLight brand is fairly closed, but those facilities are incredible facilities. It was a great theater chain. I respect so much about what they did. Those facilities are almost certainly going to reopen, whether it's like, you know, dust to the wind, and there's going to be a bunch of different iterations on those spaces. I don't know.
Could you guys make a bid for the Cinerama Dome?
I can neither, you know, confirm nor deny.
Let me pose a hypothetical. If a smaller chain wanted to buy a theater like the Cinerama Dome, are those things being sold piecemeal?
It's my understanding that, you know, they're all sort of different. I don't think you can buy them. I think they're leased properties, and so it's working with the individual, you know, property owners at this point.
Over the last year, there wasn't just a pandemic. Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd a little more than a year ago. And that crime reignited a global conversation about systemic racism and led any number of organizations to examine and possibly redouble their commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, museums, theaters. Is there a way for Alamo to have that same conversation and think about the films you're showing and the kinds of voices you want to represent and whether or not it will be different going forward than it was in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a grand American cultural reckoning, right? And I think every human being, every business owner needs to understand one's own biases and acknowledge, you know, the truths about systemic racism and change can happen through small steps and acknowledgement and just a commitment to doing better. And we're certainly on that path.
Just in terms of hiring or in terms of programming or both?
I think it's both. I think it's both. I mean, right now, we're coming out of Chapter 11. And so we furloughed, laid off close to 5,000 people in March. And then, you know, our head office was probably, you know, 250 people. We were down to 50. You know, there are strange little, I mean, it sounds terrible because it was, but there's strange silver linings to that. And that you can, rebuild an organization with purpose. You don't often have the time to pause your entire business and think about your own culture and think about, the ways that you can be better on all fronts. You know, not just the obvious ones of, technology and presentation, but just how to truly be a better company. And so we've dug in and we've made some really strong hires, and we're going to continue that commitment.
That's our John Horn talking with Tim League, the founder and executive chairman of Alamo Drafthouse Theaters. The downtown location has now reopened to moviegoers. It's Film Week on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle, and I want to remind you, you can listen to our full episodes of Film Week whenever you want, wherever you get your podcasts. Have a wonderful weekend. We look forward, of course, to having you with us every Friday and Saturday for the full hour of Film Week on KPECC.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.